Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and we do serve a miracle-working God. Whatever your problems, whatever your cares, your burdens, cast them upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Well, I just want to continue on some thoughts that I began on yesterday's broadcast, and that is building on the rock. We were looking at a passage of scripture found in Matthew the 7th chapter 24 through 27, and basically this was the parable Jesus gave just after He had delivered the Sermon on the Mount about a wise man who would hear His sayings and build on his house on the rock, and when the storm came and the winds blew and the waves rose, that house stood. But if someone heard the words of Jesus as a foolish man and didn't do them, He likened him to a man who would build on the sand. And when the winds came and the storms came, well, his house fell, and great, Jesus said, was the fall of it. And I made reference to the fact that we are living in very serious times. So many terrible disasters have affected so many, multiplied thousands of people in the last number of years. Earthquakes and tsunamis and the famine, terrible things that are coming on the face of the earth, which are not a surprise to us because Jesus said they would come. But I would like to share again a scripture I gave yesterday, which is Isaiah 26 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, or one translation says, or be forced to flee. And as I said, there's some major prophetic voices that are saying, you know, if you're in California, get out unless God tells you to stay. But, you know, there are many dear folks, you know, that where would we go? We can trust in the Lord. We don't have to be forced to flee. Amen. We can stand on Jesus, the solid rock. We don't have to be afraid, no matter what comes. I want to share something with you. I promised I would do it on yesterday's broadcast that I shared, oh my goodness, a number of years ago with UCM Partners. And if you'd like a copy of this, then just request it. Note down the contact information, and I'll be happy to put it in the mail to you. And this is entitled A Glass Plant That Was in the Heart of the San Francisco Quake. Actually, this was an article that appeared written by Paul Arendt in the Los Angeles Times. I'm just going to share now. It was the greatest natural disaster in American history, the San Francisco earthquake of 1906. Can you believe that 79 years later, we're still adding up the dead? 1,000+. The quake was felt from Los Angeles to Coos Bay, Oregon. In San Francisco, it started a raging firestorm, which destroyed $40 million worth of property. And right smack in the middle of the area worst hit was Alex's factory. Everyone who knew Alex was deeply sympathetic. He was such a good man, a really, truly good man, a religious Christian fellow, too. He lived it more than he talked about it. What a shame that his plant was located at the epicenter of the earthquake and the fiery holocaust that followed. A few took the news cynically. Alex was supposed to have been in good with God, they said. So why had God permitted Alex to locate his business in the path of eventual destruction? Everyone knew that Alex tithed, that he gave one-tenth of his gross earnings to the Lord's work. So you think the Lord would take special interest in Alex's career? Family and friends tried to comfort Alex with rationalizations. At least Alex was out of town when the calamity struck. And what a calamity. The heat from the terrible conflagration was so intense that no one could get near the site of Alex's factory for more than a week. But no matter what happened, Alex was confident that the Lord would look after him. And this is why, years previous, he had read a book referring to the biblical Jacob about how Jacob had promised to return to God one-tenth of everything that God had given him. Indeed, according to the Bible, abundant blessings are assured those who tithe. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, in the book of Malachi. What had impressed Alex was this. It seemed that one might prove the existence of God by tithing and then prospering. So that very day, June 1st, 1902, Alex had begun tithing, giving a tenth of everything he earned in his grocery business to God. It was 3 months later that a young inventor approached Alex, sold him a patent for a modest sum, a patent for a uniquely designed glass container. Alex took the patent, borrowed $100, and went into business for himself manufacturing the containers, and he did prosper. Then, April 1906, the great San Francisco earthquake. Alex's glassworks, a two-story tinderbox, a wooden building heated by oil, a plant which glass melting tanks were kept at 2,700 degrees. That factory was located at the center of a three-mile swath of destruction, right at the heart of the Holocaust. Yet all through the days during which it was still too hot to get close, Alex stubbornly insisted that God would not let him down. The next is fact. Interpret it as you wish. The only building for miles around that was not destroyed was Alex's factory. For miles around, ashes up to, but not including, the barely scorched wooden fence surrounding the plant. Inside the building, no damage, nor was even a single jar cracked by the quake or fire. And Alex, Alexander Kerr, then and thereafter did indeed prosper. You've always known of the Kerr Glass Manufacturing Corporation, today the largest maker of glass jars in the world. And now you know the rest of the story. That was Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story. Well, that's a pretty, and it's fact, that's pretty amazing, is it not? So we do not have to fear, beloved. Our God is with us. Well, let's go back now to the scriptures, as I was sharing, that we need to build on a firm foundation, which is Christ Jesus. And also, we know the foundation are the decrees and purposes of God. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Hallelujah. In the Holy Land in Galilee, as in all hilly countries, in the winter and early spring, there's a lot of rain, and the streams overflow their banks, sweeping everything before them, and they leave beds of alluvial deposit on either side. When summer comes, their waters fail. What had seemed to be earlier in the season, a good-sized river disappears, turning into a tract covered with debris of stone and sand. Now, if a stranger coming to build in this area, he might be attracted by the ready, prepared, level surface of the sand. It certainly would be easier to build there instead of working up against the hard and rugged rock. But the people of the land, they would know, and they would mock the foolishness of anyone who would try to build there on the sand, because they know what the seasons would bring. So, beloved, I would just like to suggest to you that our house, if you will, the house that we're building, is the general fabric, if you will, of an outwardly religious life. The rock is a firm foundation of repentance and obedience to God. That's what the rock is. But what is sand? Think about that. What is sand? I'm speaking now in a spiritual comparison, sand or light soil. Well, it could be many things. It could be the works that we do, thinking that it's works that are going to save us. There's a sort of a Pharisaic righteousness, which many base their hopes on. And then there's the shifting, uncertain feelings, which are for many the basis of their actions. In other words, emotions, rather than the Word of God, to be tossed to and fro just by the way we feel, or even by the thoughts of our imaginations, or love of the world. That's dangerous. The love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. love of praise, respect and custom for tradition, the love of mammon, all of these things which are the motivation for our external behavior. In other words, if our behavior, the words of our mouth, and the things we do, they're not built on the doctrines of Christ, the commands of Jesus. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That we have to let the love of God reign supreme in our lives. That's the greatest and first commandment. Jesus said clearly in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Well, it's the Greek for riches, used here as a personification of worldliness, or wealth as a reason for worldliness. So we see, beloved, that we have choices to make. God doesn't force us. We hear the word of the Lord. And you know, when we hear that word, we have a responsibility. What are we going to do with it? So I'm going to stop here and I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, probably conclude the message. But I'd like to take just a moment to just wait before the Lord and just pray with you, because we are living in sobering times. Father, we come to you as your children. Lord, everyone who's uniting their heart and faith with me right now in prayer. And Lord, we thank you that we shall not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar thereof and be troubled. Lord, you said there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her, and that right early. Lord, we stand on your promise that you are our sure rock and refuge for us. And we will not fear the times that we're living in, but we will trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for just imparting your peace to every heart and mind, your wisdom. And thank you, Lord, for the grace and the determination and the commitment to live our lives by your sayings, by your commandments, that we will be even as a wise man who built his house on a rock, and when the storms of life came, when troubles came, that house was not destroyed, but stood firm. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I must bid you adieu, and until tomorrow, God bless, and the announcer will give our contact information. Till then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,